إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب ما جاء في منكر القدر. وقال ابن عمر: والذي نفس ابن عمر بيده لو كان لأحدهم مثل أحد ذهبا ثم أنفقه في سبيل الله ما قبله الله منه حتى يؤمن بالقدر. ثم استدل بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر، وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. رواه مسلم وأبو داود والترمذي وابن ماجه. الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى in his book كتاب التوحيد in this chapter number 60 according to the English translation: ما جاء في منكر القدر، أي من الوعيد الشديد، the severe threat and warning against those who deny the قدر. And he mentioned that Ibn Umar, meaning the companion Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, him and his father, he said, by the one in whom, in whose hand is Ibn Umar's soul, if one of them had similar to Uhud in gold, and Uhud is a great mountain in the north of Medina, then he spent it in the cause of Allah, Allah would not accept it from him until he believed in the Qadr. Then he radiallahu anhu mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, this is a portion of the hadith of Jibreel, hadith that is narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu, when Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions. He says, faith is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, to believe in the hereafter and in the Qadr, its good and its bad. It's recorded by Imam Muslim. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned other narrations as a proof in this chapter. We go ahead and read to you the explanation of this first proof, the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. From the explanation from Mulakhas fi Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed li Shaykhina al-Walid al-Allama al-Doktor Baqiyat al-Salaf al-Doktor Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan Hafidahu Allah Ta'ala wa ghafara lahu wa matta'ahu bis sihha wal afiyah wa ghafara lahu wa li walidayhi wa lil muslimin wal muslimat. Qala amma munasabatu al-kitab al-bab li Kitab al-Tawheed, as for the relevance of this chapter to Kitab al-Tawheed, أنه لما كان توحيد الربوبية لا يتم إلا بإثبات القدر والإيمان به، ذكر المصنف ما جاء من الوعيد في إنكاره تنبيها على وجوب الإيمان به. He says, since توحيد الربوبية cannot be complete except by believing in the قدر and affirming it and believing in it, here the Musannif, Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he mentioned the wa'id, the threat and the punishment for those who denies it. And this is to draw the people's attention that is, once again, it is obligatory to believe in the Qadr. And as you know, this is one of the pillars of Iman. والقدر بفتح الدال والقاف ما يقدره الله من القضاء وما يجري في الكون. قال الشيخ: فالإيمان بالقدر من أركان الإيمان، فمن أنكره لم يكن مؤمنا متقيا، والله لا يقبل إلا من المتقين. Says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned the qadar from iman, from the pillars of iman. So he who denies the qadar is not a believer who upon taqwa and Allah does not accept except from the muttaqeen. المعنى الإجمالي لهذا الأثر, the general meaning of this أثر, أن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما لما بلغه أن قوما ينكرون القدر بين أنهم بهذا الاعتقاد الفاسد قد خرجوا من الدين حيث أنكروا أصلا من أصوله. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما, when he was informed that a group of people they denied the qadr, he made clear to them, and by refuting this corrupt belief, that these people who, by having this corrupt belief, meaning by denying the qadr, they have exited the religion, because they have denied one of the fundamental principles of Islam. And this is there is a story behind this. That is mentioned, the ulama, they mentioned that in the time of Abdullah ibn Umar, it appears in Iraq, al-Qadariya, those people who deny the qadr. So, two people came to Mecca for Umrah or Hajj, and they says they came with the intention to ask one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this matter that is now is spread in Iraq, this evil matter that is spread amongst the people. So alhamdulillah, they met Abdullah ibn Umar, and they asked him, they said to him that it appears in Iraq, we came from Iraq, and it appears there that some people, they says that al-amru unuf, meaning that Allah does not know the actions of the people, and they are not decreed until the people act upon them. And he told them, tell those people that I am free from them and they are free from thee. And that's the reason behind him narrating the hadith that he heard from his father, hadith Jibreel. على أي قال: واستدل على ذلك بحديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي ورد فيه أن الإيمان بالقدر أحد أركان الإيمان الستة التي يجب الإيمان بها جميعا, فمن جحد بعدها فهو كافر بالجميع, يعني بجميع الأركان. And after he mentioned his the عقيدة of أهل السنة that was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم left the Sahaba upon, and refuted that dalal and that falsehood that these people are upon and spreading, he uses as a proof the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that hadith, a hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله اطلع علينا رجل, الحديث, the hadith in Sahih Muslim and also in a 40 hadith, and now we the hadith number 2. Jazakallah. So he mentioned this hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that believing in the qadr is one of the pillars of al-Iman, one of the six pillars of al-Iman, that is obligatory upon the people to believe in all of them together. So if anyone denies one of them, he has disbelieved in the rest. مناسبة الأثر للباب فيه بيان حكم منكر القدر. The reason why Sheikh al-Islam And Imam al-Mujaddid brought this athar as a proof from the proof and selected from the proofs in this chapter. Said because this athar shows the ruling on those who denies the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الأثر one of the benefits number one أن إنكار القدر كفر أن إنكار القدر كفر that denying the qadar is a disbelief those who they say Allah did not decree the matters to happen things they just happen okay and Allah has no knowledge of what his servants may do until they act upon it والعياذ بالله القدرية النفات ثانيا وهم مجوس هذه الأمة لأنهم أثبتوا خالقا مع الله يعني أن الإنسان يخلق أفعاله they call them the علماء the مجوس of this أمة why because they have set with Allah another creator because they say that the people they create their actions whereas there's many ayahs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he who created you and what you do ثانيا أن الأعمال الصالحة لا تقبل إلا من المؤمن. Another benefit that righteous actions are to be accepted only from the believer. Who can tell me where in the author this the Sheikh Salah Al-Fawzan has this, extracted this benefit? Naam Muhammad.
As he said, even if they bring the mountain
of Uhud is gold, is diesel, and they accept it. If they didn't. No. أحسنت. هو كذلك. ثالثا الاستدلال على الأحكام من الكتاب والسنة. That rulings and regulations, they are taken from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال وعن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه أنه قال لابنه يا بني إنك لن تجد طعم الإيمان حتى تعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له أكتب فقال ربي وماذا أكتب قال أكتب مقادير كل شيء حتى تقوم الساعة يا بني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من مات على غير هذا فليس مني وفي رواية لأحمد إن أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له اكتب فجرى في تلك الساعة بما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة وفي رواية لابن وهب قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فمن لم يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره أحرقه الله بالنار and he mentioned that Ubadah ibn Samit رضي الله عنه said to his son oh my son you will never experience the taste of fate until you know that what happened to you would never have missed you And what missed you would never have hit you. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "The first thing that Allah created was the pen. He said to it, 'Write.' It said, 'Lord,' meaning the pen. Lord, what do I write?" He subhanahu wa taala said, "Write what has been willed for everything until the hour." Oh my son, I heard the Messenger of Allah saying, whoever dies upon other than this, meaning this belief, you know, the sound belief, he is not of me. Also, in a narration of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, the first thing that Allah created towards the pen. He said, right, so all that will be until the day of judgment was mentioned at that time. In a narration with Ibn Wahab, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not believe in the Qadr, it's good and bad, Allah will incinerate him in the fire. The Sheikh gave a brief biography on the son of Ubadah ibn Samit. قال لابنه هو الوليد بن عبادة هو الوليد بن عبادة بن الصامت ولد في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو من كبار التابعين ومات بعد السبعين رحمه الله. Here when he says Ubadah ibn Samit said to his son, the Shaykh, he gave us his name Al-Walid, Al-Walid ibn Ubadah. He was born in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and he's considered from the great scholars of At-Tabi'een, and Kibar At-Tabi'een. He died after the year 70 of the Hijrah, Rahimahullah. Thaniyan ibn Wahab. Ibn Wahab, he's Abdullah ibn Wahab, ibn Muslim al-Misri, al-Thiqa al-Faqih, Sahib Malik. He was one of the students and people who spent a long time with Imam Malik, rahimahullah, learning from him. ولد سنة 25 ومئة للهجرة وتوفي سنة 97 ومئة للهجرة رحمه الله. So he was born in the year 125 of the Hijrah, and he died in the year 197 of the Hijrah, rahimahullah. المعنى الإجمالي. The general meaning of this athar and the hadith that contains in it. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله أن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه يوصي ابنه الوليد بالإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. He said in this athar, this companion عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه, he's advising his son Al-Walid about the Iman in the Qadr. You believe in the Qadr, the good and the bad. وَيُبَيِّنُ لَهُ مَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ الطَّيِّبَةِ وَالنَّتَائِجِ الْحَسَنَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى إِنْكَارِ الْقَدَرِ مِنَ الشُّرُورِ وَالْمَحَاذِيرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Not only that he mentioned to him the obligation of believing in the Qadr, it's good and bad, but also he made clear for him the good consequence of, and the fruits, actually the pure fruits and the good consequences that the person harvests by having belief in the Qadr in this life and in the hereafter. Likewise, he mentioned the evil consequences of, and that the evil that the people subject themselves to while they disbelieve in the Qadr, and all the evil consequences of that in this life and the hereafter. وَيَسْتَدِلُّ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُ بِسُنَّةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّتِي تُثْبِتُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْمَقَادِيرَ وأمر القلم بكتابتها قبل وجود هذه المخلوقات فلا يقع في الكون شيء إلى قيام الساعة إلا بقضاء وقدر. And once again, this noble companion, he uses a proof, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he advised his son and remind his son of this pillar of Iman, he viewed as a proof once again the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that all of the affairs and the matters are decreed by Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and Allah has ordered the pen to write all of what will happen before they will happen, before Allah bring it to existence. So nothing will happen in the universe until the establishment of the hour, except by Allah's leave, except that which Allah has decreed to come to existence. مناسبة الأثر للباب أن فيه وجوب الإيمان بالقدر والتحذير من إنكاره والكفر به وبيان الوعيد المترتب على ذلك. The Sheikh says that Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala brought this athar from the proofs in this chapter because in it is clearly the obligations of believing in the Qadr. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. This is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Likewise, in this athar and what comprises is warning against those who denies the Qadr of Allah and therefore disbelief in it. And as for such people, there is a severe threat against them, those who they disbelieve in the Qadr. ما يستفاد من هذا الأثر أولا وجوب الإيمان بالقدر. Once again, the first benefit, believing in the Qadr and having Iman in the Qadr is an obligation, is obligatory, it's not a choice. ثانيا الوعيد الشديد المترتب على إنكار القدر. The severe threat against those who disbelieve in the Qadr. ثالثا إثبات القلم وكتابة المقادير الماضية والمستقبلة به إلى قيام الساعة. Likewise, this author is from the authors that affirm the قلم, the pen. So we believe in the qalam, the pen. And also this author and the hadith that Ubad ibn Samit mentioned is affirm that everything is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the in proportions. Whether the thing that already has passed and came to existence, still yet those to come until the establishment of the hour. I just want to share with you something as because in this hadith it says Inna awwala ma khalaqa Allahu al-qalam. Okay? The first thing Allah has created is the qalam. Other ulama they says is the arsh, is the throne. Okay? So how we understand this? قال ابن القيم رحمه الله في نونيته والناس مختلفون في القلم الذي كتب القضاء به من الديان هل كان قبل العرش أو هو قبله قولان عند أبي العلا الهمدان والحق أن العرش قبل لأنه عند الكتابة كان ذا أركان. So as related to this point here the hadith says إن أول ما خلق الله القلم. But what about the arsh? What about the throne of Allah? Which one was first, the qalam or the arsh, the pen or the throne? Here Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه وتعالى in his Nuniyya, a great poem for عقيدة النونية, he says والناس مختلفون في القلم الذي كتب القضاء به من الديان. The people, they have difference of opinions pertaining to the pen by which the decreed matters has been written. Those decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end. هل كان قبل العرش أو هو قبله? The pen was created before the throne or the throne first? قولان عند أبي العلا الهمداني. Two statements, and he chose one of the ulama. قال, then he chose Ibn al-Qayyim. قال والحق أن العرش قبل لأنه عند الكتابة كان ذا أركان. He says, and the true opinion, the truth is that the arsh, the throne, is before the pen. Because when the writings of the proportions and all Allah has decreed took place, the throne was already established and has pillars. Okay? قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى أول ما خلق الله من الأشياء المعلومة لنا هو العرش واستوى عليه سبحانه وتعالى بعد خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام كما قال تعالى في سورة هود وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. As from one of our contemporary scholars in our time, our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the first of the thing that Allah has created that are known to us is the arsh. Is the arsh, is the throne. And it was tawa alayhi. And the istiwa took place, Allah rose above the throne after He completed, after the creation of the heaven and the earth in 6 days. And He mentioned the ayah number 7 in Surah Hud. And He, it is who has created, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and His throne was on the water. See? And His throne was on the water, that He may try you, which of you is the best indeed. This is from Majmu' Fatawa Rasail ibn Uthaymeen, volume 1, page 62. ثم قال وهذا هو قول الجمهور وهو الراجح. Shaykh Uthaymeen says, and this is the statement of the majority of the scholars. This is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. And then Shaykh Uthaymeen said, this is the sound opinion. That the throne before the pen. أما كون القلم أول ما خلق الله الاختيار الطبري وابن الأثير والألباني والله أعلم. As from some of the ulama of the past from the Salaf, that they hold the opinion that the pen is before the throne, like Imam al-Tabari and Ibn al-Athir wal-Albani, as far as my what I found, unless if these great scholars they have changed their opinions, Allahu a'lam. وفي المسند, we conclude with this chapter, alhamdulillah, and with this. قال وفي المسند والسنن عن ابن الديلمي قال أتيت أبي بن كعب فقلت في نفسي شيء من القدر فحدثني بشيء لعل الله يذهبه من قلبي فقال يعني أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه لو أنفقت مثل أحد ذهبا ما قبله الله منك حتى تؤمن بالقدر وتعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك ولو مت على غير هذا لكنت من أهل النار. قال يعني ابن الديلمي فأتيت عبد الله بن مسعود وحذيفة بن اليمان وزيد بن ثابت فكلهم حدثني بمثل ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. عند حديث الصحيح This author here on his Sahih, called by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. It was graded Sahih by Al-Arnaut and Al-Albani, included in Sahih Sunan Abu Dawood, hadith number Athar 3932. In the Musnad and the Sunan, from Ibn al-Daylami, he said, I came to Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the companions, radiallahu anhum. He said, I came to Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, and said, there is something I have thought about. He has some thoughts, something he's bothering him about the qadr. Mary is not clear to him about the qadr. Okay? He says, so he narrated something to me that by it, perhaps Allah would erase that from my heart. He said, meaning Ubay said, if you were to spend similar to Uhud in gold, Allah would not accept it from you until you believe in the qadr. And you knew that what happened to you would never have missed you, and that what missed you would have never happened to you. And if you were to die upon other than this, then you would be among the people of the fire. Then Ibn Daylami, he said, after what Ubay ibn Ka'b told him, he went to other companions to ask them. He said, then I went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhu, and Zayd ibn al-Thabit, radiallahu anhu, all of them narrated similarly to me from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith. Okay, and this hadith, as we mentioned, is sahih. As for Ibn al-Daylami, huwa Abdullah ibn Fayruz al-Daylami, thiqatun min kibar al-tabi'in. As this man, Ibn al-Daylami, who came to the companions and he asked, this is the ask about the Aqidah, these matters of creed. He is Abdullah, his name, Abdullah ibn Fayruz al-Daylami, a thiqa, from Kibar al-Tabi'in. He's from al-Tabi'in, rahimahullah. Abuhu Fayruz, qatil al-Aswad al-Ansi al-Kadhab. His father, Fayruz, he's the one who killed Al-Aswad Al-Ansi, the liar who claimed prophethood. Okay? One of those people who claimed that they were a prophet after... Some of them they did it in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some they did it after he died, including a woman also, even a woman, that she claimed that she was a prophet. Nasallahu Alaihi Wasallam al-Adhi. قال في نفسي شيء من القدر أي شك واضطراب يؤدي إلى جهل. When he said, I find within my heart something against the qadr, meaning he has doubts. He has doubts about the qadr. Okay, he's not firm. Okay, that certainty that we should have about the qadr. Not just, oh, I don't know, Mother Nature maybe. What do you mean Mother Nature? Who created this big tree, Mother Nature? Who created you? Allah. We mean. That's that we have two creators here. So he has doubt, he says, which usually lead to denial. When people they have doubts, they have no certainty, it leads them to just disbelieve in a matter. Well, you see how dangerous it is? That's why if a person have any issues, any doubt, ask the people of knowledge. Ask the ulama, they will, inshallah ta'ala, help. Aina, as this great tabi'i he did. المعنى الإجمالي للأثر يخبر عبد الله بن فيروز الديلمي أنه حدث في نفسه إشكال أي وقع في نفسه إشكال في أمر القدر فخشي أن يفضي به ذلك إلى جحوده الله أكبر. He says, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzah, he says that Abdullah ibn Fayruz al-Daylami, he's informing us that he found some feelings and thoughts in his heart about the Qadr. And he was afraid that may lead him to deny the Qadr. See, he was afraid that may lead him to deny the Qadr. فذهب يسأل أهل العلم من صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لحل هذا الإشكال. الله أكبر. So he went to ask the people of knowledge from the Sahaba, because they were available, from the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, to find a solution for his trouble, for his doubt. وهكذا يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان ينبغي للمؤمن أن يسأل العلماء عما أشكل عليه أو أشكل عليه عملا من قول الله تعالى فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون في سورة النحل. He said, likewise, this is the approach that the believer should take by asking the scholars everything that is not clear to you, everything that is disturbing you and not clear, you ask the ulama. They will remove any ambiguities and any doubts. You ask the scholars, the true scholars, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in Surah An-Nahl, verse 43, said, ask the people of dhikr, meaning the people who know the Quran and know the deen of Allah, if you do not know. فأفتاه هؤلاء العلماء كلهم بأنه لا بد من الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر وأن من مات وهو لا يؤمن به كان من أهل النار. So these great scholars that I mentioned here, that he asked them by asking Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Hudayfa ibn Yaman, Zayd ibn Thabit, his noble companions from the ulama of the Sahaba, all of them told him that it is a must, an obligation to believe in the qada and the qadar. And if anyone died on while not believing in it, he will be from the people of the fire, وليعد بالله. مناسبة ذكر الأثر في الباب بيان أن الإيمان بالقدر أمر حتم وأنه هو الذي رواه الصحابة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The reason Shaykh al-Islam selected this author in this chapter, because clearly in it that having belief in the Qadr is an obligation. It's obligatory. And this is what the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim, they narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's what they narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ما يستفاد من الأثر, what are some of the benefits? أولا الوعيد الشديد على من لم يؤمن بالقدر. نعم, من يترجم؟ Who wants to translate this? English, French, Oromo, Somali, Yoruba.
Severe threat. Severe threat for the one who does not believe in the Qadr.
Ahsant. The severe threat for the one who does not believe in the Qadr. ثانيا سؤال العلماء عما أشكل من أمور الاعتقاد وغيره. سؤال العلماء. سؤال. نعم عبد الله. What does it mean? سؤال.
A question.
أحسنت. العلماء. العلماء. What is it? You know العلماء?
نعم. Scholars.
Scholars. أي نعم. Okay, you want to continue? That's enough.
That's enough.
That's enough. I take that. Uh-huh. Who will continue? Yala Luqman. In English. سؤال العلماء عما أشكل من أمور الاعتقاد وغيره. Huh?
Hi.
Speak up.
Asking the scholars, people of knowledge, about what troubles.
Ahsan. When it comes to matters of belief, aqidah and other than, things are not clear, ask. Ask. Don't just say, hey, whatever, Allah, mashallah, is going to accept, alhamdulillah. No, you ask. Because this deen is based on knowledge. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahu ta'ala, he has a chapter, بَابٌ الْعِلْمُ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. Knowledge precedes statements and actions. Before we believe in anything, we have to learn first. That's why Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala used to always mention this beautiful statement, قَالَ إِسْتَدِلَّ ثُمَّ اعْتَقِدْ لَا تَعْتَقِدْ ثُمَّ تَسْتَدِلْ فَتَدِلْ. He used to say, إِسْتَدِلَّ ثُمَّ اعْتَقِدْ. Study the matter with its adilla, with proofs, then believe. Once now you have the adilla, this is what Allah, what's in the book of Allah, what's in the sunnah, that's what the sahaba they were upon, now you can believe in this. Mutma'inna al-qalb. MashaAllah, with ease, because you have the adilla. He says, do not believe in something, and then try to find the proofs for it, you'll be misguided.
And that's what the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Ahwa. The people of Sunnah, they don't believe in anything or do anything unless they learn. Because they know this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one has the right to add anything or to just act upon anything, thinking it, yeah, it may be a right. Allah has completed the deen. His deen is complete and perfect. All we have to do is learn and adhere. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم عليكم بالعطير. Follow, do not innovate. You have been given enough. You have enough. This deen is complete. Any matter, especially the matters of aqeedah. We don't just believe in someone in the names of Allah, or about Allah, or the Jannah, the hellfire, or the angels, or this or that. Now we have to have a dalil. We study the adilla, we study the matter. That's why the importance of study in the books of Ahlul Ilm. Now, ثالثاً أن من وظيفة العلماء كشف الشبهات ونشر العلم بين الناس. أن من وظيفة العلماء كشف الشبهات ونشر العلم بين الناس. نعم أي نعم. أخونا ناصر تفضل. أهلا وسهلا.
It's the job of the scholars to it's the job of the scholars to remove the doubts of the people and to spread knowledge between them.
أحسنت. That from the things that the ulama they do and the scholars. Because the scholars, they do a whole lot of things. They teach, they advise the people, and from that also they remove the doubts. Because people throw doubts. Shaitan put doubts. The Ahlul Batil, the people of falsehood, they put doubts. So the ulama, they are the one that remove those doubts, alhamdulillah. And once they remove the doubts, that's a tanqiyah. Then they spread the knowledge. That's what the ulama they do. If they go to a place, there is shirk, there is falsehood, there is innovation, they clean the area. And then they put the right things. It's like somebody moving a house. It's trash, this. He's going to put his brand new furniture in there? What usually person do? Huh? They clean up. They clean the place. Huh? He ain't gonna come and put his thing on. Huh? They clean the place. Likewise, the ulama, they clean the people's hearts. If there is any aqa'id batila, innovations, they clean that by refuting this thing, that this is wrong because of this or this or this. That's how they clean it. And then they teach the people the aqidah sahiha, teach the people, because if the people they still hold into what they are upon is confusion. They should know that what they were upon is wrong. Let it go. It's no good for you. You have the wrong bag, man. Let it go. Now you hold it. Now we're gonna give you the right one, but let this one go first. Amen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yazaqna wa yaqna ilm al-nafi wa al-amal salih. By this we came to an end of this chapter. The next chapter is about Babu Maja'a fil Musawwirin. Aymin al Wa'id al Shadid, the severe threat against image makers, pictures and all that. Inshallah, hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad, ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa sallama tasliman kathira.